You've connected with a worldwide network of millions. You're on TalkZone.com.
Together we can do great things.
Internet Talk Radio. Now let's return to Pageant Talk Radio on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Valerie Hayes.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Now it's time to take a few moments to answer your questions about how you can be pageant fab for your next pageant. If you'd like to ask a question, our phone number is 888-463-6748. That's for callers in the U.S., 888, go for it. And international callers can dial 011-847-470-0937. Now let's answer some listener questions. And our first email question comes from Missy. Missy says, as a Mrs. competitor, I balance family, career, community service, and competing ever so carefully. I'm sure you do. In the past 6 years, I have competed 7 times. Of those competitions, I've been first runner-up 4 times, second runner-up 2 times, and 1 time I've been fourth runner-up. I would like to make another attempt at a state title that has obviously eluded me in the past, but I'm unable to put my finger on the one thing that seems to be holding me back from winning the crown. What can a repetitive runner-up do to make a difference and break through to the crown? Well, Missy, I totally understand how you feel. I have a lot of contestants that come to me after having competed several times and not being successful. Maybe they've runnered up or placed as a semifinalist and they're just not getting the crown. I totally understand how frustrating you can feel and how lost you can feel. I think the most important thing for you to do is to get yourself a good coach. A good coach is going to be able to identify the one thing or the couple of things that is holding you back. Obviously, you're doing very well. You're obviously a skilled contestant, but you're missing that little X factor that's putting you over the top. It's hard to say whether it's an interview, your wardrobe, your hair and makeup, or your onstage modeling. So I think you need to get yourself a good coach. If you're working currently with a coach and they're just not able to put you over the top, it's okay to try out another coach and see if they have any suggestions. That doesn't make you disloyal, because I'm sure your coach wants you to be successful and wants you to win. And sometimes that might mean going to another coach to get another opinion or to get an additional expertise that you're needing to develop. So my first advice to you, Missy, is to get a coach. And if you already have a coach, you might explore getting some advice from another coach to help give you that edge to win your next state level pageant. Good luck, Missy, at your next pageant. We hope you do really well. Well, on the phone we have Jeff, and Jeff has a question about directing a pageant. Jeff, welcome to Pageant Talk Radio.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Valerie. See, my wife and I are thinking of directing a well-known pageant at a local level, and I'm wondering if you have any advice or if there's anything we should know before we sign the contract.
That is a great question, Jeff. I think a lot of people get excited about the possibilities of being a pageant director. And there are two things that you really need to consider before you sign your contract. First of all, you need to know as much, well, actually there's several things to consider, not two. I correct myself. The first thing you need to know is find out as much as you can about the reputation of the national pageant. Check out their website. See if you can contact former title holders at both the state and national level and find out what their experience has been. Because when you have a local or a state level pageant and your winners are then going on to the national pageant, you're going to want to make sure they have a positive experience. So the first step is to check out the reputation of the pageant you're considering. The second step is to really understand your reasons for wanting to be a director. A lot of people want to be a director because they think it would be fun to be in charge of things, or because they're done competing but they want to still have some connection with pageantry, and they're not going into it because they want to run a business. Owning a local or state or even a national pageant is really about running a business, and the pageant business as a director is really an event planning business. It's not all that different from planning a large seminar or workshop. It's not all that different from producing a television show or a play. It's really about event planning. It's heavy logistics, heavy attention to detail, lots of organization. I myself have been asked on numerous occasions, why don't you become a director? Well, I don't like event planning. I don't like logistical scheduling. I don't even like to schedule or plan a birthday party for members of my family. So you really need to decide that you're willing, Jeff, you and your wife, to approach it like a business and be very organized and planful. And then the third thing that you need to make sure of is certainly you're going to want to run it like a business and generate profit. But the third thing that you need to understand is that your primary responsibility as director is to provide a beneficial, ethical competition for your contestants. Your contestants are spending lots of money and lots of time getting ready for the pageant. They've really invested in preparing for the pageant, and they want to make sure that they have a great pageant experience. So when you're planning the pageant, you need to be keeping the contestant in mind and how it will benefit the pageant, or how it will benefit the contestant. I hope that helps, Jeff. Good luck for you and your wife. I'm sure it's going to be a great pageant. All right, our next question comes to us from Andrea. Andrea says, I recently competed in my state pageant, and even though I really, really prepared, I didn't even place. Lots of people came up to me after the pageant and told me they had me picked for the top five. How do I know if the pageant was rigged? Well, Andrea, I totally know that you were disappointed not to make the top five, and I know that the people that were coming up to you after the pageant were trying to be helpful, encouraging, and probably assure you that you were very close. What this sometimes does is give you the impression that you should have won or you should have placed when you didn't, and then so naturally you start to wonder if the pageant was rigged. I can tell you from experience that this is a very natural question. When you don't win and you think you should have, you naturally assume that the pageant is rigged. Most pageants are not rigged. I'm not naive. I do know that there are a few out there that either have creative scoring or are just downright rigged. Those are very, very few and far between. I could probably count the number of those on one hand. So I doubt that you have competed in a pageant that was rigged. The most important thing here is to take some time after the pageant is over to kind of relax and regroup and focus on positive things. And then when you get your scores back or get the DVD back, you can take a look and see what area you felt you were a little flat on that maybe would have kept you from placing in the top five. All right. Good luck for you at your next pageant, Andrea. Our next question comes from Maggie. Maggie says, I just aged out of the Miss America system and I'm ready to sell my pageant wardrobe. How do I decide what price to sell things for and where is the best place to sell them? Well, Maggie, this is a great question, and we did do a show last week on buying and selling your pageant wardrobe on the Internet. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that show, you can go to pageanttalkradio.com and click on the archives page, and that will show you the archives of previous shows, and you can click on the one that says buy and sell on the Internet. The best way to get the most money for your wardrobe is to arrange a private sale, and that's a sale between you and a contestant that you already know or a friend of a friend or something like that. You can probably get maybe 50% of what you paid for your gown or your interview suit if you do a private sale. Oftentimes, if you're looking at a sale on eBay or pageantresale.com, which is another great place to list your gown, you're probably going to be looking at getting about a third. So when you list the items on, list your item on eBay, you really need to expect, sometimes you can list it at 50% and do a best offer and accept a third. I know on pageant resale, they also offer a fixed price or best offer. So generally speaking, those are the two best places to sell is on eBay and pageantresale.com. I hope that helps, Maggie, and good luck as you sell your pageant wardrobe. Well, today, in closing the broadcast, I'd like to talk for a moment about what I call pageant aftercare. I know most of you are done competing for the summer. Most of the large summer national pageants are done, and you have a little bit of a break before you start your fall local state preliminaries. And I can tell you, after working with hundreds and hundreds of contestants across the country, that you need to plan a little pageant aftercare. You need to pamper yourself and feel good about yourself. And oftentimes the type of pageant care that you need right after your pageant is going to depend on how you did at the pageant. Generally speaking, how you've done this summer is going to fall into one of two categories. Either you had a successful pageant outcome or you had a disappointing pageant outcome. If you had a disappointing pageant outcome, your emotions about the pageant sometimes are stronger than if you'd actually won. In the first few moments following the pageant, it's very tempting to blame other factors for your placement. I have been attending, judging, or emceeing a pageant for the last 6 weekends in a row. And I can tell you at every single one of those pageants, a small number of contestants or their families claimed that the outcome of the pageant was rigged, was influenced by unethical sponsors or staff, was political based on how well you knew the director or whether or not you knew one of the judges. At one of the pageants, a parent even started loudly complaining right there in the audience as soon as her daughter's name was not called as a semifinalist. If you're feeling disappointed with your placement, you need to allow yourself some time to get over the disappointment before you start sharing your feelings with everyone you know. I realize that you're crushed. I totally understand that and that you feel strongly that you should have placed. But pageants are a subjective competition. And we've all been to pageants where very, very strong contestants did not win or even make the top 10 or top 15. By strongly expressing your opinions in the lobby or backstage, unfortunately, you're highlighting your inability to handle disappointment. Learning to handle disappointment is an important life skill. When my children were younger and competing in sports, I always advised them to keep their feelings and disappointments to themselves until we were in the car or in the hotel room. I mean, think about it. If you were attending a Little League game and someone behaved badly after they'd lost the game, you would think they were displaying poor sportsmanship. And when I was in corporate America and had applied for a job, I didn't get the job, even though I was by far the most well-qualified for the job. The woman who ended up getting the job, her son played on the same football team as the hiring manager's team. Did I think it was fair? No. But how did I handle it? I walked right over to her office, shook her hand, and congratulated her on her new job. I didn't handle it by displaying poor sportsmanship and claiming that it wasn't fair. Unbeknownst to me, what happened was another manager from a different division saw me walk over and congratulate her on the job. And when an even better job came up open in that division, I later got that job because of the fact that I had displayed good sportsmanship. So handling disappointment really is an important life skill. If you have valid concerns, go ahead and express them in an email to the director after you get home for the pageant. The place for expressing your concern is not on stage or backstage. In order to maintain your position as an elite contestant, you need to handle disappointment with dignity. Take a couple of weeks to focus on other things, and don't spend all your time obsessing about the pageant. Unfortunately, not every contestant at a pageant can win, and you probably knew that when you entered the pageant. Elite contestants display grace under pressure, even when they're disappointed with their placement. So if you're disappointed with your pageant placement, let your family and friends know that you're disappointed, share your disappointment in private, and focus on other things for the time being. Give yourself at least 2 to 4 weeks before you make any decisions about future competitions. Don't rush to compete again to prove that the judges were wrong. And don't decide never to compete again because you didn't place. Elite contestants know that they can't and won't place every time, but that doesn't change their belief in themselves. And on the other hand, if you had a successful pageant outcome, you either won or placed at a level that you felt accurately reflected your pageant skills. Whether you walked away with the crown, made the top 5, or placed as a semifinalist, you felt good about your placement and feel motivated for the next pageant. It's important to take some time to relax and regroup prior to your next pageant. Don't rush to enter the very next pageant just because you're excited. Make sure you evaluate that pageant and whether or not it's right for you. Often contestants are so excited about their pageant placement that they enter the very next pageant available without evaluating whether or not the judging and scoring criteria for that pageant plays to their own personal strengths. Relax, unwind, take a few moments to objectively review your performance, and then decide what's next for you. It's never a good idea to make a decision about your next competition when you're feeling the high of a win of a positive placement. Decisions about your next competition should be made with a clear head and an objective mindset. Often, when you make competitive decisions when you're excited, you end up disappointed with the outcome in your next pageant. So if you won or placed this summer, take some time off to enjoy the moment and really celebrate before you enter your next pageant. Whether you win or lose, pageant aftercare is so important. Well, that's it for this week's show. I hope you learned something during today's show that will help you to be your very best at your next pageant. I want to remind you that we'll be back next week with nationally known blogging and website expert Jennifer Haubein to talk about how you can use a blog to market your pageant activities. If you'd like to check out the Pageant Talk Radio calendar, just visit my MySpace page at myspace.com/pageantinterviewcoach or sign up for my free newsletter at pageantinterviewcoach.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and make this week a Pageant Fab Week.
You've been listening to Pageant Talk Radio with Valerie Hayes, the Pageant Coach. Visit her website at pageantinterviewcoach.com and join us for more Pageant Talk Radio next time right here on TalkZone.com.